The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, comedian John Gray gives his spin on love, life, race, and family as only he can.
I'm just trying to help my white sisters out because y'all so nice to y'all kids. Y'all be giving them time out. What is time out? We got knocked out.
Because, you know, we have this fallacy that says, well, God doesn't see color. Yes, he does. He created us.
Laughter in black and white. Next.
Thank you so much. You know, I go all over the world looking for the glory of God to be manifest. I'm James Robinson. My wife Betty and I, we really count it an honor to be sharing this time with you. You're going to meet one of the most anointed people that I've seen. Now, you know, Billy Graham is a real close friend. All your famous preachers, you can't name one of them I don't have a good relationship with. I don't know I've ever met anybody more anointed than the guy you're going to hear. But we're going to start out with a little humor because he's funny. As a matter of fact, John Gray has a DVD called Laughter in Black and White. Here's John Gray.
That's just how black women do it. I'm just trying to help my white sisters out because y'all so nice to y'all kids. Y'all be giving them time out. What is time out? We got knocked out. Two black women right there, former abused women beaten by their mothers. Next, Oprah. I'm telling you, white people, white women, you would live 3 years longer if you stopped trying to argue with them kids. I love y'all so much. I'm praying. I saw a mother in the store, and she's just talking to the little boy like he's on her level. She's like, Tucker, Tuck, Tuck, buddy, Tuck, Tucker, I need you to listen. I need you to simmer. Tuck, I need you to simmer. Simmer. Tucker's like, no! I want to play with the Legos. I want to be the king of Legoland. Tucker, can your brother be? No! He was king of Legoland last week! I want to be here by myself! That poor mother, she's Tucker, mommy's having an aneurysm right now. Could you stop it? Mommy's having a heat stroke. Could you simmer down? No, you have an aneurysm later. I want some ice cream. Because Tucker used to touch everything in the store. Black kids know, don't you touch nothing that you can't pay for. Black women, all they got to do is make three sounds and the kids know what it is. I remember sitting in the store, reaching for the Star Wars action figure. My mother wasn't even turned near me, and she had radar, and it just, ha, ha. Are you touching? Are you touching something in this store? You can't pay for nothing on that shelf. I wish you would touch it. Please touch it. Where's my Vaseline? I will bust you up. I don't
John Gray. John, I love you, buddy.
Love you too, son.
You know, you did a great job at our Gateway where we hosted the ARC conference and had all these incredible pastors and church leaders.
Yes, sir.
And I walked over to you. I had to go clear across the church, the front, mingle through all the people to get to you. And I came to you, and I'll just tell everybody what I said. You're as anointed as anybody I've ever seen. You have a gift that is matchless, and it is a gift from God. And understand the treasure that you have. And because I really believe you can be, you're funny, and your timing is it's impeccable. It's supernatural. But I really believe you're a spokesman to our nation. Ultimately, I really believe that. I honestly believe, because I have such a great love for the black people. You know, we don't just love them because they're in Africa and we help them. I just love them everywhere. I grew up with only 10% white where I lived. And I never understood why people had a problem, mm-hmm. you know, with the ethnic diversity and so forth. I didn't understand it. And I just love people. But I really believe that black people, a lot of times have, because we did mistreat them. Whites did mistreat them. Mm-hmm. And I think we're on kind of a guilt trip. And as a result, I think we're overreacting in some ways. And a lot of things are kind of being maybe handed out in ways that the strength of the black community is not necessarily being seen. Mm-hmm. It's more like the hurt black community demanding, you know, reprimanding and payment and mm-hmm. cover, and not really realizing how great they are.
Absolutely.
As a people, and how great fathers can be.
Absolutely.
And how great families can be. And I believe you can speak to that.
Absolutely.
So do you bear witness with the concern I'm expressing?
I think it's absolutely critical. The fatherless pandemic in the African-American community, I think, is the greatest attack the devil has in our community. The statistics are clear. Children that are raised in fatherless homes, the percentages are disproportionately higher that they're going to be incarcerated, they won't graduate, that they will be in some form of halfway house or correctional facility or in the justice system, not have access to education, shorter lifespan. They'll have more issues with abuse. They will be unsuccessful proportionately without a father in their marriage. They won't be there for their own children. Not having a father and how fatherlessness has impacted the community that I came from cannot be overstated. But I believe, and in the church, I believe that the church needs to get out in front and become proactive about building bridges beyond culture and beyond race, because, you know, we have this fallacy that says, well, God doesn't see color. Yes, he does. He created us.
He likes
diversity.
Yeah.
He likes the color. And there are things that we can learn from each other and grow and develop. And I believe in personal accountability. I believe in personal responsibility. And I believe in it so much that I'm faithful in my marriage and I'm raising my son. So I don't just talk it, I live it. When I talk to my son, he's only 5 weeks old, and I rock him and I say, you're going to be a man of God and you're going to serve the Lord and you're going to live holy and you don't have a choice, boy, and you better act right, you know. And I believe that our community needs to take responsibility and to take responsibility for the family. There have been cases that have been highlighted in the media where we look at one aspect of the spectrum and say, well, race played a factor. But then when it's black on black crime, you don't hear those same voices screaming as loud, when we have done far more recently than any other group has done to us. And I think we need to look at the history and look at the brokenness, but look at ways to heal without offending those who weren't directly involved. The reality is this: there are many people that grew up in different areas, and everybody comes to the table with their own fears, insecurities, and prejudices. But by the power of Jesus, he's able to reconnect us and realign us with his original intent for creation. We're able to draw together. The only color that should matter is red. It's the blood of Jesus. That's what unifies us, and that's what we need to get back to. And we've got to be intentional about diversity. Jesus, when he went to the Samaritan woman, he went to that well out of the way of where he was going. He went that way purposefully to create dialogue with a woman that was outside of the community that he was supposed to talk to. They were not comfortable, and he asks her for water, which is a great part of your heart. Give me some water at this well. She said, you know good and well, we don't have anything to do with each other. And he said, you know, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for some water and you'd never thirst again. She said, well, tell me all about it. And then he says, why don't you go get your husband? We'll talk. She said, well, I'm not married. He said, yeah, I know. You've been married 5 times and the man right now, you're shacking up. And, you know, and she's like, uh-oh, something tells me you're a prophet. And so I'm like, very discerning of you. But, you know, when you see how Jesus related to her, he didn't judge her. He didn't beat her up. He didn't walk in saying, I'm better than you. What he did is he walked in, met her where she was. He engaged her on a personal level. And then he gave her spiritual truth to heal her from her broken past.
Wow.
And that's what we need to do when it comes to race and reconciliation and the power of forgiveness and not using the brokenness of the past as an excuse to have a crutch today.
And you know, she was so covered and so free that she went into town and she said, come meet a man that told me everything I ever did, but he's not telling you because he covered it. I'm a new person. That's how forgiven we are. That's how completely he will change us so that we can have a whole new, not only relationship with him, but a meaningful relationship with one another.
Absolutely.
In the white community, how do you see us best really encouraging the black community?
I think honestly, there two things have to happen. We have to have honest dialogue from a foundational perspective about the past and the history of our country. It is a painful history. American chattel slavery was unprecedented in its brutality. We know that. And we have not properly addressed it at its root, which is why the wound keeps festering and showing up. Everybody has a voice on the internet now. And if you read any blog about issues with justice, politics, religion, or race, you will see so much hate and vitriol on both sides.
That's
and
right.
You'll find it from anonymous sources because most people have these hidden places because it's never been dealt with. I think the church needs to be proactive and get out in front of the reconciliation movement and have honest dialogue. Dr. King said years ago that the most segregated hour in this country is Sunday morning.
Right.
And we have to get deliberately diverse, not talk about preference in our worship style, not talk about preference in the type of music we like, but say, let's get diverse. Let's get deliberately diverse. What would happen if a black Pentecostal church just got up one Sunday morning and went across to the white Southern Baptist church and said, we're going to worship together. And it's the same Jesus.
I'm going to say amen.
That's right. Whether it's Baptist or Pentecostal, it's
right.
One Jesus.
Absolutely.
It's one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Absolutely.
We've got to fight to love each other beyond our differences.
Absolutely.
Beyond the things that we don't understand. Every time I get on a plane, I hear, well, what team do you play for? And I'm like, I play for the Judah Lions. That's who I play for. I play for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I think sometimes we have our own preconceived ideas based on media, based on culture, based on upbringing. We've got to learn to look at each person as an individual and say that no one is a monolith. All black people are not the same. All Indians are not the same. All white people are not the same. We need to take people for what they are as individuals. But as kingdom people, we need to look at the heart and discern from the heart the spirit of a man.
You experienced a miracle, your mother. We at the end of the program, we got about 5 minutes, but you can tell the story because I heard you tell it. Your mother got a terrible diagnosis. I mean, it was a hopeless deal.
Tell
us about it because I want everybody out here that believes there's no hope and you're facing something that just seemed in. I want you to listen to this, and then we're going to agree for the God of miracles to touch you in the area of your need. What happened?
And if I can add to this story the caveat that my mother was a mother and father to me because my mom and dad divorced when I was very young. My father was not a strong part of my life. My mother was a woman of God, is a woman of God.
So we met the father.
Yes.
I had the same situation.
That's right. And my mother lived a holy life. Remained pure until marriage, which is a part of my testimony. She told me at 13, boy, you're going to be a virgin when you get married. And I said, okay, Mom, I'm thinking I'm getting married in my 20s. I was 37. I was like, hurry up, Jesus. I've been living holy. I need you to speed it along. And so my mother has lived a holy life and honored God. And on June 23rd of 2011, I went home and went to the doctor with her. And he said, I hate giving good people bad news, but Mrs. Gray, you have pancreatic cancer, and it's at stage 4. She had been showing some symptoms that we didn't know, and they thought it was jaundice or something going on with the liver. And by the time they caught it, it was stage 4. Well, then we went to the oncologist that afternoon, and he said, it is confirmed. It is metastatic stage 4 pancreatic cancer. It spread to your liver, your spleen, your duodenum, your bile duct. There are lesions on your liver and scratches on your liver as if something was trying to scratch it. There is no medicine, no radiation, no chemo for this. We can offer you palliative care, just pain medicine, but there is no cure for this. You have months to live. And as I began to cry, she began to smile. And I said, maybe she's lost her mind. I feel the Holy Ghost for somebody watching this program right now. You need to call somebody and get them on the phone so they can hear what I'm about to say next. But my mother said, well, how many months do I have? And he said, there's only one who knows. She said, oh, I know that. And so he left the room, and my aunt and I were there, and she said, I know y'all gonna think I'm crazy. She said, but I'm so glad he said there's no hope, because now I know he won't get credit when God heals me. And we left that room, and she walks over to the nurse's station, and she says, God's gonna heal me, and walks out. We have a family meeting that night. I said, my mom has lost her mind. I understand. She's got a terrible diagnosis. The whole family's there, and everyone else is weeping. She's consoling them. She said, I don't want anybody in here praying for my healing. Instead, I want you to take your faith where mine is and thank him for what he's already done. She said, God made me a promise, and he cannot break a promise. And a promise from God is as sure as a fulfillment. And he told me, I'm going to heal you because you have no one else. And she referred me to Isaiah 53:4-5. See, the Bible is not just a book of stories or a collection of 66 different authors. It is a contract. It is the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. It is a contract. And that contract states in Isaiah 53:4-5 that he bore our griefs and carried our iniquities. And the word griefs in the Hebrew is sin, sickness, malady, or ailment. And he carried our iniquities. And by his stripes we're healed. You know the rest of it. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And my mother declared that that scripture was what she was hanging her hat on. And she said, I'm not going into no surgery. God has already told me I will live and not die. That's it. That's all. That was June 23rd of 2011, about 7:30 at night. I feel the Holy Ghost. And by June 27th, when she went in to have biopsies of all those tumors that we still have the CAT scan for, we still have the tests. They went in for 3 hours and searched and could not find one single cell of cancer in her body. Not one. Not one. Not a tumor, not a growth. The scratches on her liver were gone.
Father, the devil had to. Thank you. Father, I thank you. When I heard this, I knew. And I didn't have to have him tell me what a mighty God you are, but I heard a great testimony. And so on behalf of everybody listening right now, I'm asking you to show them you're the miracle-working God. And to every one of you all over the world who watches, I got a loved one. I got something in my body. Something's going on. He is healer. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What you heard was an affirmation of faith. We have seen this in our own family. We have seen what God will do when you say, I win because he wins. He's won. He is healer still. Father, I pray that you'll heal every person.
Yes.
And I really think it's perfectly appropriate for you just to reach up and say, Lord, I know who you are, and I want you to be in me who you are and who you were to John's mother. And I'm asking you to heal. I'm asking you to restore. You are a healer. I receive you as who you are. I receive your healing power and release it toward my loved one, my child, my family member, my parent, my friend, my neighbor. I receive. And I thank you, and I praise you, and I rest in it. And Father, you just flood everyone watching
us
with the peace that passes understanding. Not something you work up. It's something he flows in you like a river. Peace, be still. Trust and rest. I pray that for you. We love you. We believe this is a miracle. Don't you thank God for a gift of man? Do you appreciate what John has said? This is what you've heard coming out of his heart and his love. John, you're anointed. If people wanted you to come to their area to speak, what address and what website can I put up?
JohnGrayWorld.com. J-O-H-N-G-R-A-Y-World.
And if they wanted to get the comedy, you could get it. Matter of fact, could we, if people will help us drill a water well today on this is our last week, could we send them this as a gift?
Absolutely.
We'll get them from you, okay?
Yes, sir.
But could we send it to say thank you?
Absolutely.
Let me ask you to do this. I want you to watch. Help us drill 350 wells. This is the last week. Do what you, if you can drill a well, please do it. If you can drill a part of a well, please do it. Watch this.
Me and John, I'm cũng ơi con chư rong hay ni khwa ta rương con tê pê con cđau khluon đong đong chư pu hay hay con ni cũ rịa ni cđau khluon rịa ạch đây ở lụa bài ở bàn ra khlai con chư na mụt ở lui mơ vi ta chư rương mụt ta ở ti khâm tê mụt khlai vi chlap rịa âm môn nhâm con nhâm rịp lại cho nhâm tha con ấy nhâm chiết một chiết cõi tôi chặt chiết cho mua kem là miên lôi cái mực vị chi đâu thì phải bạc nhầm vinh tham mai mai công chung nhìn dây thắt của mọi nhầm chung nhầm có thả nhà bạn chung thích con nhầm sống cho đài nè nhưng mà mình lấy mẹ cậu lại cậu ngọt ớt mình mẹ âu nà phâng bán tệ vong phô ôn cậu ớt đài thế rồi hai ớt bán lôi cậu nhầm ngọt ấy đây nhầm màu bình mà ớt tồn cậu chạp tệ con nó cứ chạp bắt tốc đây nhầm mà đâu để tao prap tao mà đâu sửa thật con chạp nhầm vô tao cặp hạt tông nhầm chọn cà mờ con cho bẹ kê tới những ngày
I love that little baby and I love that mother. I don't know I don't know if many things had ever moved me any more than the first time I saw that. You remember what I said to you?
Yeah, you said, we're going to drill a well for that mother.
I actually looked out at that Pish, her name is Pish, and, you know, there were no televisions. I just wanted her to know. I said, Pish, we're going to drill you a well. You know, I could just tell you my heart just overflows with a burden that God put there to give everybody a fresh drink of water. Seemed like a pretty simple request. And Jesus said, you just give a cup in my name, you won't lose your reward. And just giving the cup, enough reward for me to see that mother's prayers answered. See, it's a... But, you know, if you say, well, boy, that's nice, James, that you got that burden, because I can tell it's real. I mean, you're not... I can tell it's real. Hey, you think it's real here. You think I really did this for the Father? Who says you, us, you're my hands. You're my body. You're the ones that give the water. You're the ones that bestow the blessings. You're the ones that take the broken-hearted world into your arms. So it's my arms. He really has no arms but ours. I mean, oh, yeah, he could fling everything around. He could just... But he said, this is how I've chosen it, because I've given you the choice of letting me be Father and trust me or rebel against me. But if you want to be my family and express what I'm like, give a cup of water. Meet a need. Touch a broken heart. All right, I believe you want to do it. I don't even know if you profess to be a Christian. I think if you're just breathing and grateful you can breathe, you say, I want to help somebody. Okay, do it. This is our last week. Twice a year, we ask you to help us drill water wells. We're asking you to help us drill 350 now. That the missionaries showed us. This is a place right here. We got somebody here who'll minister to them, and we're showing you a need. Okay, would you do it? Would you drill a well? Betty and I, we gave a well to Pish's village. I mean, they're drilling it. I'm relatively sure they're drilling it while I'm talking to you. They're going to have water. But what about all she represents? What about all those hundreds of other villages? Could you drill a well? Could you drill part of a well? 4,800 is a well. Could you do that? Go online, lifetoday.org, say, here's my gift. Use your bank card like a check, write a check, make it to Life, but here it is. Could you give 1,200 or 2,400 and say, I pray three people join me or another person joins me, we got a well. Whatever you can do, it's huge to God. It's huge to them. Huge to mothers like that. $48, 10 people water. Not just a cup. Water basically for the rest of their life. $48, could you do that? Surely there's a level you can come in, 144, 30 people water. Father, help everybody do what they can. In Jesus' name, for their sake, answer to those prayers. Would you go to the phone, please? If you get a busy, be determined. This is the last week. So if you happen to get a busy, say, look, I am not quitting until I get through. I am going to be an answer to that prayer and that heart cry. I am going to help somebody's child. I'm determined to do it. Nothing will stop me. I will express the love of God today. Would you make the call? You write a check, call us and tell us you're mailing it. We've got some gifts to send you to bless you because we love you. We like to invest in you. As you're giving life to others, we want to strengthen your life. Thank you for making the call. Thank you for your gift.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 350 new water wells for remote villages in 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Arise, a beautiful new daily devotional featuring words of encouragement from inspiring women who have shared their faith on life today. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Arise audio-visual devotional featuring 40 days of inspiration from Life Today's favorite women guests. Please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the 2012 commemorative bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. This is the last week. Call, write, or make your gift online today.
I think that it's really important for you to know that the countdown, you might say, last week, we really need to hear from all of you. Betty, I think, you know, we're going to do more. You may have already made a gift. You may want to make another. Remember, if you would like to have, we've got the beautiful gifts that we have told you about. And remember, online, you can get the Christian Vote pens, and Indivisible is now paperback. John Gray will send you. This is great entertainment, but it's also communication of truth. And we'll send it to say thanks if you'd like to have it today. And there on lifetoday.org, you can find out again his contact information. Join Betty and me again saying thanks to John. God love you, John. Appreciate you much, buddy. Thank all of you so much for your friendship. Thank you for watching Life Today and helping us share life.
This is the God, the Holy, Holy, Holy One, who has called us.
A fresh look at God's calling tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.